Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. I hope that y'all are ready for a night of terror. Welcome to Real Spill Radio. This is your girl, Raven, the Serial Poet. And when I tell you I have been looking forward to tonight, all this week, I have been looking forward to tonight. So, if you grew up an 80s baby listening to late night radio, you know there's a show that used to always play scary tales, running from 10 to like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then it changed to like Quiet Storm or something like that. So I'm trying to bring that back. So I hope y'all can appreciate the stories that will be told tonight. So before you get started, grab your popcorn, turn off the light, and settle in, because we don't begin these terror tales. But before we do, if you want to call in, the number is 914-205-5813, 914-205-5813, or if you want to listen online, click that link. You know where I'm at. Well, at least you would know if you were following me. So, let's go.
This story happened to me a couple years ago. It happened on a Saturday night. I was typing on a school report for my English class and was pretty worn out from the tedious amount of thinking that transpired throughout the paper. I decided to take a break and procrastinate a little bit, maybe watch a couple of YouTube videos. I needed to take some stress off my mind, but didn't really have anyone to vent or talk to. This gave me the idea to visit a chat room called Omegle. For those of you who don't know what Omegle is, it's a chat room where you can literally video chat with random strangers online through your computer webcam. Needless to say, Omegle definitely helped with my social skills growing up as a child, so I was always active on it. I remember this one particular night. I was having trouble meeting new people. This left me a little frustrated, to say the least, but that's the kind of thing to expect when you're on these kind of chat sites. That's when I stumbled upon this one guy. He looked to be around the same age group as myself, and seemed like a pretty harmless individual. I decided to say hi. He didn't say anything back, he just typed the word hi in the chat box. I found it kind of weird that he would go through the effort of typing out hi as opposed to just saying hi verbally. He then waved at me and began typing something else. He introduced himself in the chat box saying, "My name is Daniel, what's your name?" I verbally said, "My name is James, how are you?" He then stares at the camera and doesn't say a word to me, completely dismissing the fact that I just asked him a question. At this point, I was convinced that this had to be some sort of pre-recorded video and that someone was just trolling me. That's when he began typing in the chat box again saying, "I'm deaf, please type in the chat box unless you know sign language." I honestly felt stupid and immediately typed, "No worries, my name is James," and gave a quick thumbs up as an act of kind gesture. He immediately typed back saying, "Nice to meet you, James," and gave me a thumbs up as well. He then typed something else that left me dumbfounded. He said, "I will use my whiteboard to chat with you going forward, because my hands will be occupied." I was confused by what he meant by that, so I typed, "What do you mean by your hands being occupied?" He then starts writing on a whiteboard and raises it up on the screen, which read, "Want to play a game?" I typed, "Sure, what game you want to play?" What he did next is something I will never forget to this day. He held a revolver up with one hand and the whiteboard up with the other hand saying, "Let's play Russian roulette." I was honestly quite creeped out by this guy and was contemplating on clicking the stop option to skip this weirdo. That's when he wrote another message on the whiteboard saying, "One of six." I was confused by what one of six meant. He then took the revolver, slipped one bullet inside the cylinder, and began spinning it with his other hand. I now knew what he meant by one of six. It seemed like the guy was about to demonstrate an act of Russian roulette with one bullet in the cylinder of six. He then puts the revolver against his head. I began typing,
"What are you doing? Please stop this."
The guy then smiles disturbingly on the camera and pulls the trigger. Nothing happened. He starts laughing hysterically like a psycho. I was honestly disturbed, but also skeptical that the gun was real, so I typed, "Is that even real?" He then points the revolver at the wall and begins to repeatedly press the trigger until the shot was fired. I was completely blown away by what I was seeing and typed,
"Dude, you could have died!"
That's when the guy raised the whiteboard to the screen again, showing the message, 5 of 6. I frantically started typing, "Don't do it!" repeatedly in the chat box, desperately trying to get his attention. He then began loading the revolver with 5 bullets while I gestured no by waving my hands back and forth like a lunatic. I knew the odds of him surviving this time were slim to none. He then raises the revolver against his head once again and begins to disturbingly smile with tears running down his face. He began mumbling the words, "It was nice meeting you, James."
I immediately slam my laptop shut as I hear a gunshot a split second before the laptop was fully closed.
I was left baffled on my computer desk. I hadn't a clue what to do. I stupidly opened my laptop up with my eyes closed. I pressed my hand against the screen where the video chat was located. I opened my eyes, and through the cracks of my fingers, I can see blood displayed everywhere on his screen. I immediately click the exit button on the Google Chrome tab and call it a night. To this day, I'm still skeptical about what I saw that night. I haven't reported anything to the police, nor have I reported anything to Omegle. I'm not sure if that was the wisest decision, but I hope I never encounter anyone like that again.
It was New Year's Day in 1995. I was in the middle of my junior year at my college, and a bunch of my friends had come down to visit me and my roommate for the festivities. We were all pretty hungover from drinking the night before, and we went out for the usual post-greasy breakfast hangover stroll around the neighborhood. Two of these friends were twin brothers. One of them we hung out with all the time. The other we just met for the first time. It was pretty normal the night before, you know, joining in on the fun, but on this day, we were all hanging out around the local basketball court shooting hoops with an old basketball we found in the grass. And this twin brother kept following me around all over the place with the creepiest grin I've ever seen in my life, staring right into the nether regions of my soul the whole time. So I back away and then I join the group again. And he kept following me around. When we were walking back to the apartment, it was just me and him walking down the sidewalk behind the group. And he moved in front of me. He stared at me with that creepy look again and fell down to his knees as if he was to worship me or something. I didn't know what to do or say, so I said, "Hey buddy, you alright? We're heading back now, right?" And so on. He wouldn't say anything. He'd just be there on his knees, looking up at me with this clenched face and squinted eyes as if we were looking directly into the sun or something. Later that day, my roommate said he was tripping, so I thought nothing of it and moved on with my life. A few weeks later, we got a phone call from the twin brother that we usually hung out with, and it turned out that his other twin brother went over to his aunt's house with a knife and stabbed her 14 times. She didn't die, but you know, still pretty bad. He had even called the police before going, because he knew he was going to do it, but he couldn't stop himself from doing it, because, you know, the voices and so on. The court case was covered in the media, as this was a small community where this sort of thing doesn't happen every day. I was reading one of the articles, and one of the testimonies was that this twin brother was severely schizophrenic and was hearing voices in his head. He believed to his very bones that his aunt was the devil, and that he had been commanded by God to go kill her. So who was this God that told him to go kill her? Well, as the newspaper article described, it was this guy in a group he hung out with on New Year's Day. It didn't take me long to realize that he was talking about me. This was over 20 years ago. I know for a fact that it was a mental illness, but just knowing that I somehow commanded him to go kill his aunt just stays with me to this day.
This happened to me about a year ago. I used to be a janitor for a cleaning agency. I would basically take contract jobs to clean in various locations. One day, my cleaning agency gave me a cleaning contract at a psychiatric ward, also known as an asylum. To be honest, I was a bit hesitant to take the job, just because of the superstition of asylums being haunted, but I took it anyway because the pay was decent. Later that day, I arrive there. I see a huge, old-looking building. To be honest, I was quite creeped out since the asylum was secluded in the middle of nowhere. When I arrive inside, I notice people giving me an uninviting stare. I'm not just talking about the patients, I'm also talking about the employees as well. To be honest, I kept it professional and began to do my job. I remember mopping the hallway and seeing some really bizarre things. I saw some creepy-looking patients that had a disturbing look to them. I don't know, they just looked like the kind of people you would see in one of those Exorcist movies. I remember seeing this one guy that really gave me the chills. It was a man who looked to be about 7 feet tall. He gave me this really disturbing smile, like he wanted to kill me. I can see a nurse instructing him to lay on his bed. He didn't look too happy after that. I also remember seeing a swimming class taking place. Well, not exactly a swimming class, just a bunch of patients in a swimming pool. They were all holding an exercise ball and mimicking the actions of the instructor. I personally found it unsettling, to say the least. When it was around the end of my shift, I was getting ready to head home. I noticed all the patients' doors were closed, except for one room. I could see someone laying on the floor with their legs halfway across the door. It was a bit alarming for one to be laying on the floor like that. I then saw the person getting yanked into the room. That honestly startled the crap out of me. I then noticed a puddle of blood spilling out from the room and onto the hallway. I decided to approach the room and see what the hell was going on. As I peeked inside the room, I saw one of the most disturbing things ever. It was the tall man I saw earlier. He was biting the hell out of one of the nurses' neck. You can see the nurse's eyes gouged out with blood pouring everywhere. I carefully made sure to not scream or make a sound. I got the hell out of there and immediately started driving off. I even called the cops while driving. Till this day, I'm still traumatized by what I saw that night. I'm not sure exactly what happened to the tall man, but he still gives me the chills just thinking about him.
This is a story about a girl in my high school. I go to high school just like any normal person would, but I was having a little trouble with my grades. So I started staying after school to do a little extra work to bring my grades up. But I've noticed in school that there has been this quiet girl that attended tutoring alone with 8 other people. The thing is, I would always see her staring at me, never taking her eyes off of me. I really didn't mind it, but it felt really creepy. This kept going on for about 2 weeks. At this point, I was feeling very uncomfortable. One day when school ended and tutoring started, I sit as far away as possible from her. We go home at around 6 p.m. And this day, I got on the bus like usual. There is only one bus because there aren't so many people. And as usual, I would sit as far away as possible from her. But that day, when I got off my bus stop, she got off too. This was weird as she always got off at a different bus stop, but I really didn't pay any attention to it. I thought maybe she changed her bus stop or something, I don't know. I really didn't think about it. It was getting dark, and it was about a 1 mile walk from my bus stop to my home. But I noticed that the girl has been following me for about 2 minutes, and I didn't know why. This, of course, bothered me, but there wasn't really much I could do. I just ignored her, minded my own business, and I kept walking. 2 minutes later, I noticed that she kept following me. I started to get the feeling that maybe she was lost or something. It was dark, and then she started talking to herself. She was acting really weird, and I just wanted to ignore it, but she kept whispering to herself. I could hear mumbling. The sound was getting closer and closer, so I picked up the pace. When I picked up the pace, she also did too. She then let out a scream that was so damn loud that it almost made me pee my pants. I started sprinting. She went chasing after me. I was getting scared, so I ran around the neighborhood. I didn't want her to go to my house because she would know where I live. Around the corner, I saw a bush large enough for me to hide in. Then she stopped as she thought that she lost me. When she stopped, she took a deep breath and she ran away. I stayed there for about 5 more minutes just to make sure. I was thinking to myself that this girl was insane and had some mental problems. After this horrifying experience, I didn't go to after school tutoring again.
This happened to me on a trip to Lyon, France. I was traveling solo from the States and had booked a stay with this old couple in their house. I say old. They must have been in their mid-60s. It was a new listing and only had a couple of reviews, but they were both really positive. from the photos, I could tell that this place wasn't exactly a five-star joint. But for the price, it was a steal, and in a great location to boot. That first night when I arrived, the older couple actually made dinner for me. It was a nice touch, and who was I to refuse? Their English was decent, so we chatted and shared a few stories, and afterwards I went to explore the city and get a few drinks. I must have returned around 10 p.m, and my hosts were nowhere to be seen. In bed asleep, I figured. The pair had told me at dinner to help myself to a little wine, which is precisely what I did when I got in. Nice folks. Afterwards, I went up to my bedroom to settle down myself. Now, I usually have trouble sleeping, but that night, I fell asleep with surprising ease. All the traveling that day had worn me out, and that little bit of wine probably helped too, I guess. I'm not sure what time it was, but I awoke in the night to a flash of lightning. You know when your eyes are closed, but you can still tell there was a flash of bright light? Well, it was just like that. I remained curled up in bed with my eyes still shut, waiting for the crash of thunder to come with it. I counted the passing seconds in my head. My mum always used to tell me that however many seconds there were between the lightning and thunder, that was how many miles away it had struck. So I'm there, counting away in my head. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20, 30. Huh, that's odd, I thought. No thunder. It was then, through closed eyelids, that I sensed another lightning flash. Again, I waited for the thunder, but it never came. I sat up in bed and opened my eyes, just to see if my sleep-hazed mind was playing tricks on me. It hadn't been. Inside my bedroom were my two hosts. Initially, I didn't realize just how bizarre this situation was. I was still in that confused, just out of sleep state. Even still, I knew there was something off about their expressions. As my eyes adjusted, I could tell what was wrong. They were both wearing masks, latex masks of old human faces with exaggerated features. The flashes had been from the camera the woman was holding. They had been taking pictures of me whilst I slept. The husband was nearer to the bed than the wife, though, and he was in mid-step, moving closer. She was further back by the door. It was as if he wanted to be in the pictures. With me now awake, they both froze like a pair of mannequins. "What do you want?" At the time, I couldn't think of anything else to say. The adrenaline hadn't kicked in yet. I was more confused than freaked out. "You're dreaming," said the male, his voice muffled behind the latex mask. Then, backing up towards the door, "Good night." It wasn't until I noticed the metal wrench in the old man's hand that the situation fully dawned on me. I quickly gathered my shit and made for the front door, glancing around like crazy in case the old fucks tried to ambush me with the wrench from around a corner. Needless to say, I contacted the police immediately, though nothing ever came of it. My evidence was all anecdotal. The old geezers had been smart enough to delete all of the pictures. My complaints to Airbnb were largely ignored too, though the old couple did remove their listing from the site. I don't know what all of that was about. Some cult-like shit? A messed-up fetish? Some fucking potential snuff pictures they were making. The old man was definitely in the shots, and it was clear that he was trying to step towards me quietly, wrench in hand. Whatever the case, I'll never complain about being a light sleeper again. I still check Airbnb regularly, just to make sure they don't use it to lure anyone else in.
It was the beginning of summer. I decided to go to my local amusement park. My town opens the amusement park only during the summertime. I would usually spend, you know, most of my summers indoors, watching YouTube, playing video games, basically living with my introverted tendencies. I was never the type to be outgoing, but decided to make friends at the fair this year, or at least attempt to. It was around the evening time, and I remember taking the bus alone. I finally arrived and remember seeing how high the rides were. Every time I look at a roller coaster, or Ferris wheel, I always think of the movie Final Destination, where a freak accident occurred. I'm personally afraid of heights, so I would always avoid going on the tall rides. As the night went on, I played a few carnival games, but would always come out empty-handed. Maybe I just sucked at the monotonous fair games and was better off playing video games at home. At least it's something I'm better at, but decided to test my luck. After all the unsuccessful attempts at winning my prizes, there was one game that caught my attention. It was an old, dusty-looking machine, isolated at the end of the park. It looked like one of those fortune-teller machines that you would see in the arcades. The game didn't draw much attention from the people at the fair, so I decided to check it out myself. It was called Psychic Clown. It had a creepy-looking clown inside. You know, sort of looked a bit too real for my liking, honestly. I also noticed the game cost $1 per try, so I put whatever spare change I had into the slot. I then pressed the go button, and the clown began talking. It said, "Ask me a yes or no question to uncover the truth," and then press the go button. So I asked the clown, "Will I get a girlfriend by the end of the year?" I hit the go button, and the clown began moving. It started disturbingly laughing, and then eventually said the word, "No." I thought to myself, this can't be accurate. It's just a fair game. But the sad reality was that the clown was probably right. I decided to ask the clown more personal questions this time. I dropped more change in the slot and asked him, "Are my parents divorced?" My parents have been divorced for 10 years now. I pressed go, and the clown began doing its disturbing laugh again, eventually saying the word, "Yes." At this point, I was really creeped out and contemplated if it was just a fluke, or if this psychic clown game was for real. I reached for more change and realized that I only had $2 left, which was supposed to be my bus fare. I planned on calling my mom to come pick me up, so I decided to use my last $2 on the psychic clown now. I put the first dollar in, was ready to ask it a question, but the game didn't work this time. I gave it a few light taps and the clown began to laugh again. But this time, it seemed like the clown was malfunctioning. It began laughing uncontrollably and started jerking its body back and forth just vigorously. The movements were so vigorous to the point where the clown started banging his head on the glass, causing it to crack. This caused me to have a fight or flight reaction while others laughed at me. I found the whole ordeal pretty disturbing to say the least. I assume it was some sort of glitch, so I decided to use my last dollar on one more question. The last question I asked to the clown is, "Will my mom pick me up from the fair tonight?" Again, the clown begins to do its creepy laugh. Then it says the word, "No." The next part of this story is what sends chills down my spine. My mom calls me right after the clown says, "No." I pick up the phone and my mom asks me if I'm on my way home. I ask her if she can pick me up, and she says, "Yes, I will." The call abruptly cuts off. I figured my phone had poor signal, so I didn't bother calling her back. I assumed that she was on her way to pick me up. At this point, I realized that the clown's revelation was wrong. My mom was on her way to pick me up. I head to the exit of the fair to wait for my mom to arrive. A few minutes then, turned to an hour. I dialed my mom's number again, and I tried calling her back, but the call went straight to voicemail. I repeat this 10 more times as I leave her a text message saying, "Where are you?" But I didn't get a response. I then called my stepdad. He answers the phone and asks if I'm headed home. I tell him I've been trying to get a hold of my mom for the past 2 hours. I can hear sheer panic in my stepdad's voice as he tells me he will get my cousin to come pick me up instead. An hour later, my cousin finally arrives to pick me up. He had a look of distraught in his face like he had just been through hell. I ask him if he knows where my mom is and why my stepdad didn't come for the ride. What he said next turned my stomach into a million knots. He tells me that he dropped my stepdad off at the hospital because my mom got into a car crash. I panicked and told my cousin to immediately drive to the hospital. Upon arrival, I find out from the doctors that my mom was pronounced dead from her injuries. It's been a year since my mom's passing, and I always contemplate whether I was the reason for her death, calling and texting her while she was driving. My other theory is, it might have had something to do with that psychic clown. A part of me thinks that the psychic clown played a part in my mom's death, but I will never know for sure.
This story is told in a female perspective. It happened to me when I was around 15 years old. I would always love going to this arcade that was located close to my house. The arcade was always open till late, so it was usually packed to full capacity. My parents didn't mind if I went by myself, as long as I made it back before my curfew was over. Every time I was at this arcade, I would always play with the Pac-Man machine. I don't know why, it's just I had a knack for Pac-Man, and it was my favorite game to play. Later that night, I remember seeing these two guys play the game Dance Dance Revolution. I always enjoyed watching others play it, as it was quite mesmerizing to say the least. That's when a random guy approached me from out of the blue and asked if I'd be interested in playing air hockey with him. I personally didn't see any harm in it, so I said, sure. He introduces himself as Ben, and I introduce myself as well. We end up playing a few rounds and even chatted for a bit. Ben was even generous enough to buy me a drink. I eventually noticed it was getting pretty late and realized it was probably close to my curfew. I checked my pockets and noticed my phone was missing. I didn't know if I forgot it at home or something, so I tell Ben that it was time for me to go. He then tells me that he needs to use the restroom and politely asks if I could keep an eye on his cell phone, which was charging on the wall along with his belongings. I said sure, and he proceeds to head to the restroom. I decided to call my cell phone using Ben's phone, just in case I accidentally dropped it somewhere in the arcade. I noticed he didn't have a pass lock on it, so it was pretty easy to use. I dial my number and surprisingly hear a cell phone ringing inside Ben's backpack. It sounded exactly like my ringtone. My phone must have been in his bag. I decide to open the bag, only to find my phone inside it. I grab my phone and quickly place the backpack back on the table, just in case Ben came back. I felt really uncomfortable knowing he had attempted to steal my phone, considering the fact that he came off as this really nice guy. I noticed he was still in the restroom, so I randomly scanned through Ben's phone. He didn't have any social media apps, which led me to believe he wasn't much of a social guy. I nosily decided to look through Ben's photos while occasionally looking up to see if he had come back from the restroom. What I saw in the photos made me want to throw up. It was photos of myself ranging from inside and outside the arcade. The photos range from a couple months ago till now. As I was swiping more and more and more, I realized that this guy had been secretly stalking and taking photos of me. One photo that really sent chills down my spine was a candid-style photo of myself playing the Pac-Man machine with Ben standing right behind me. He must have had someone take the photo of us. I quickly delete all the photos of his phone. That's when someone named Greg texted Ben's phone saying, "Yo, Ben, is she still with you? I'm outside with the van." That's when I look up and see Ben staring at me with a creepy-ass smile. It was a smile that looked so exaggerated, I couldn't tell if he was faking it or being for real. I told him that I was just checking the time because I'd forgotten my cell phone at home. He then says, "Want to come over to my place?" I honestly could have made a scene, but I took the high road and said, "Sure, but I need to use the restroom first." He then says, "Sure, let me walk you there." Ben walks me to the restroom, and I immediately took the opportunity to call my dad to come pick me up. I can see Ben glimpsing through the door every time someone exited the restroom like a creep. That's when I decided to tell two older girls I saw about my situation. They kindly escort me outside, only to find Ben no longer there. I then get a call from my dad telling me to come outside and that he has arrived. I quickly rush into his car and act like nothing ever happened. To this day, I'm still traumatized from the encounter I had with Ben that night. I lay on my bed from time to time, pondering what sick plan he was orchestrating that night. All I know is that I don't plan on going back to that arcade anytime soon.
So about 3 weeks ago, I started having these strange dreams, often involving little things happening in a different order than usual. It started off pretty normal. My school bus came down my street from an abnormal direction. For some reason, this stuck with me. The dreams were kind of, you know, like an anthology. The second dream followed the next night. The dreams started the same, but this time, I got on the bus. People's faces were just blurry, and an odd middle-aged man sat behind me, which is off seeing as how it's a school bus. The man whispered to me, but I didn't understand what he said. The next night, I had the same dream, but a few minor differences. This time I understood what he said. "Remember, don't ask questions." I really didn't understand what he meant by that. The next day I sat in class. I kind of fell asleep during the lecture in my psychology class. The dream continued where it left off. The strange man stood up, and the bus flipped. Before I woke up, he kept repeating a name. I didn't understand it. When I woke up, my mom was calling me, and I stepped outside of the classroom, so I had to answer. My mother informed me that my estranged father had passed. She sent me a link of the obituary. There was a picture of the strange man. Was it some kind of intuition? Or my mind playing tricks on me? After that, the dream stopped. I still haven't figured out what the last thing he said was. I guess I'll never know. This story is told from a female perspective. It happened to me a couple of months ago. I was on a dating app called Tinder. I matched with this one guy that I found attractive. He had a clean shaven head and was more appealing compared to the other guys on the app. His profile said he was the same age as me, 25. The bio in his profile was intriguing. It read, "I am the most versatile person you will ever meet. I compare myself to a chameleon because I like to be different and spontaneous, randomly. You should join me." This made me compelled to chat with him. He then sends me a direct message saying, "Hi, I'm Dennis." I sent him a message back introducing myself and asked him what brings him on Tinder. He responds by saying, "Want to have dinner at my place tonight?" Ignoring the fact that I just asked him a question. Without hesitation, I message, "Sure." I usually wouldn't be so forward with someone I just met online, but something seemed compelling about this guy. He then sent me his address and mentioned that he'll be inviting a few friends. I messaged him back saying, "Okay," and waited till then. Later that night, I drove to his address and arrived at his front door. As soon as I'm about to knock on the front door, it opens, with Dennis staring dead at me. He had a blank expression on his face and didn't say a word. I found this very, very bizarre and creepy. About 10 seconds later, he says hi, then leans over to give me a hug. He tells me to come inside and I stupidly go inside. As we arrive inside, I sit on the couch and Dennis immediately asks me if I want anything to drink. I tell him, water, please. He then tells me that Patricia only drinks tea. I was confused by who he was referring to. I asked him who Patricia was. He then tells me that she is one of his friends that he invited over. I tell him, okay. Then he proceeds to get me some tea in his kitchen. A couple of minutes pass and the most bizarre thing happens. Dennis comes out of the kitchen with two cups of tea, dressed as an adolescent child. He wore a yellow hoodie and blue track pants. The clothes honestly looked like it belonged to a teenage boy. He places the two cups of tea on the table and reintroduces himself again, saying his name is Hedwig, in a creepy child's voice. I found this really disturbing and assumed that this was some sort of sick joke. I awkwardly put on a fake smile and go along with the alleged joke. At this point, he tells me, drink the tea. Again, in a disturbing child's voice. I really didn't want to, and knew I had to get the hell out of there. So I cleverly say, don't we have to wait for your friend, Patricia? He got angry and said that if I don't drink it, he will release the beast. He honestly sounded like the type of child that throws tantrums when their parents don't buy them things that they want. I was trembling in fear and didn't know if he was armed or had a knife on him, so I drank it. The room suddenly started becoming blurry, and I eventually started fading, then blacked out. I assume it was from whatever he put in the tea. I then remember waking up on the floor and seeing a woman standing in front of me. The woman was wearing burgundy. It looked like a burgundy long-sleeve shirt, black skirt, and some heels. I eventually get up from the floor and rub my eyes to see that the woman was Dennis, dressed as a female. I remember thinking to myself, this guy is a psycho. He then said, I'm Patricia. Would you like to have a tea party with me? In a female-like voice. I thought to myself, this guy is so fucked up. I acted fast and told him, I'll be interested in a tea party only if you invited Hedwig back, which was the teenage boy he imitated earlier. Surprisingly, he obliged and walked back into the kitchen to supposedly get Hedwig. I immediately used this opportunity to haul ass out of there and drive home. It's been a month since the incident occurred. I haven't taken effort to report it to the police. I don't know if that was the smartest decision, but as I tell you this story, it still resonates with me until this day.
This is the most terrifying thing that has ever happened to me. I want to share my story with the world, now that I have closure. It all started a couple years ago when I was living with my girlfriend, who we'll call Sarah for the sake of the story. I remember we were both in the living room watching a movie. We usually did movie nights on Fridays, and it was my turn to select which movie we get to watch. I was personally a horror fanatic, so I chose a horror film. It was pretty late in the night when this occurred, so it really made the movie that much more intense. Sarah wasn't really into the horror genre, so you can imagine the kind of reaction she had throughout the movie. Midway into the movie, Sarah asked if I could walk her to the bedroom. I reply by saying, sure, after the movie's done.
You know I don't like horror. Please just walk me to the bedroom. I'm scared, Trevor.
We can leave when the movie's done. I sat through your whole movie last week, so it's only fair that you finish mine.
Please don't do this to me. I'm really scared, Trevor.
Quit being a chicken. I'm not leaving the couch till this movie's done.
I hate you!
Sarah angrily gets up and heads to the bedroom on her own while I continue watching the movie and mentally prepare myself for the argument that awaited me. About 10 minutes later, my throat begins to itch, so I decide to get a bottle of water in the kitchen. As I stood up from the couch, I get startled as I see Sarah standing in the darkness of the hallway. Sarah, you scared me! I thought you were in bed sleeping! Sarah just stands there with her eyes wide open, gazing into my eyes with her emotionless expression, almost like she was looking into the depths of my soul.
I assume she was still upset about earlier, so I said, "I'll be waiting in bed," as I casually walked past her. As I open the bedroom door, I see Sarah laying in bed asleep. My mind raced with mixed emotions of confusion and absolute horror. I could have sworn I just saw her. I decide to peek outside the hallway, only to see nothing. This can't be real. I could have sworn I just saw her. I must be hallucinating. I just need to stop watching scary movies this late at night. I disregard what had just occurred and crawled into bed with Sarah. At 3 a.m. in the morning, I wake up to a loud sound which sounded like glass being shattered. I noticed Sarah was no longer in bed with me, which I found quite bizarre as it was very uncharacteristic for her to be awake at this time of night. I could hear weird noises coming from the washroom outside the bedroom. I cautiously get up and began to approach the washroom. I could hear Sarah in there. It sounded like she was talking to someone, or something. I opened the door, only to discover the most terrifying thing I had ever laid eyes on. I can see Sarah standing in the bathtub covered in blood. She had smashed the mirror and used the broken shards to lacerate her body entirely. She then began yelling the words,
I hate you!
Her voice was demonic. I was thoroughly convinced that this was not my girlfriend and that she had been possessed by some sort of evil entity. I stood there quivering, not being able to move a muscle out of shell shock. Sarah then pulls the shower curtain, unveiling a message on the wall which spelled, "I hate you," written in blood. My legs go completely numb as I collapse to the floor. Sarah then picks up a large piece of the broken mirror and yells one last time in her demonic voice,
"I hate you!"
She then pierces the shard across my chest repeatedly, stabbing and stabbing and stabbing. I remember seeing a bright white light as my life flashed before me. That's when I open my eyes and wake up to a movie playing in the living room. This isn't the horror movie I played earlier. It must have been a movie Sarah put on. I checked the time and it was exactly 3 a.m. I looked to my right only to see Sarah staring dead at me with a grimacing look. "What's wrong, Sarah?"
"This is the third time you fell asleep to the movie that I picked on movie night. I hate you."
Sarah? Sarah?
Like it was yesterday. My brother and I were home alone for the night while our parents went out with their friends. He's 17 and I'm 13. My brother left soon after my parents, even though he was supposed to stay home. Recently, a new neighbor just moved in next door, some old guy. I saw him speaking with our parents the first day at his house. Anyway, we live in Florida and it was the winter time, so it wasn't too cold. I say this because we have a pool in our backyard that's heated and I love swimming. At around 10:30 p.m., I decided to go swimming. I called my friend to let him know. So he said he'll come over. He only lives about a street away. I start to swim some laps and as I come up for some air, I saw the old man from next door standing on the outside of our fence leaning against the gate with the creepiest smile on his face. I lost all form in my swimming strokes and completely stopped. I played it cool and I said hi. He didn't even say hi. He went straight to, "I noticed that your parents aren't home." I told him that my older brother is and he then said, "Nah, he's not. I didn't see him when I was watching you through your bedroom window." I didn't say anything. I was just shocked. He opened up the gate and started to speed walk toward me. I began to back up in order to climb out of the pool while yelling help. He was getting closer, then he stopped and looked behind me. My friend was on the other side of the fence running toward us, and also on the phone with the cops. My neighbor ran into his house. The cops came, but The old man denied everything. He didn't know that my friend recorded him before he called the cops. He was arrested and eventually moved away. I don't know what his plan was, but I'm glad my friend showed up. Obviously, my parents were pissed at my brother for leaving when he was supposed to stay at home to watch me. But they were happy I was okay. To this day, I haven't seen that guy since.
This happened to me when I was working at McDonald's. My boss assigned a schedule amongst our staff. I was unfortunately scheduled for the night shift on Fridays. I didn't usually mind, as we didn't get a whole lot of business around this time of night. My boss was pretty laid back, and didn't mind if I went on my phone during business hours, so long as I got all my work done. I remember dozing off repeatedly due to the fact that I wasn't fully acclimated with the night shift hours. That's when I heard someone making a sound, the kind of sound you make when you try to draw someone's attention. I notice a customer trying to make an order outside, so I quickly greet them with my usual, "Hi, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order?" I then heard a man say,
"One Whopper, please. Yes, I would like one Whopper, please."
I couldn't tell if he was being a smartass or not, so I ended up saying, "This isn't Burger King, sir. We don't serve that here." I heard him chuckling profusely after I said that. I quickly checked the security camera, only to see a clown. The clown was standing in front of the drive-thru menu without a car. It's not Halloween, why the hell is this guy dressed up like that? I really didn't want to serve this guy, so I decided to use our company policy as a plausible excuse for him to exit the premises. "Hi, sir. Unfortunately, you need to be in a vehicle in order to purchase something here."
"If you don't have a Whopper, I'll take a Baconator instead."
I now could tell this guy was some random psycho harassing me. I instinctively yelled, "Get the hell out of here before I call the cops!" I cautiously stick my head out the window, only to see the clown no longer there. A couple hours later, near the end of my shift, I notify my boss and fellow employees regarding the situation. They all dismiss my accusations by saying ignorant things like, "Did you get his autograph?" or, "It was probably some guy that thought it was Halloween." I annoyingly pretend to be amused and head home. The following Friday, it was my time to work the night shift again. I really, really dreaded working this shift, especially after what transpired that day. I tried to convince myself that it would be highly unlikely that I'd encounter that clown again. As time went on, I remember dozing off as I get startled by another psst sound. I urgently check the security camera, but don't see anyone present. At this point, I genuinely thought I was hearing things due to my subconscious mind thinking about the clown. My paranoia must have been at the peak of its height. That's when I turn my head towards the drive-thru window, only to see the clown staring dead at me.
"If you don't make me a Big Mac, I will kill you. Trevor."
My heart sank to my stomach. The clown knew my name. I immediately grabbed my cell phone to call the cops, but my hands were trembling so much that I actually wasn't capable of dialing anything. The clown started banging his head on the glass and screaming my name, Trevor, repeatedly.
"Trevor, Trevor, Trevor, I am not loving it! Trevor, 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 Trevor!"
I see blood dripping down from his head. I started shouting from the top of my lungs,
"Leave me alone or I will call the cops!"
The clown runs away as another car approaches the drive-thru lot. I stupidly resume work and wait for my boss to come in. Upon his arrival, I explain the entire situation to him. He then dismisses me by saying, "Don't sweat it, kid. It was probably some drunk. You can go home now." As he was talking, I notice a cut on his forehead. I could even see blood start to drip from it. No. It can't be.
"Goodbye, Trevor."
"No. No! No!"
Ha 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 ha! This happened to me when I was around 14 years old. I was at a sort of religious class located far from our main school building. I was drawing my cartoon characters, waiting for my teacher. However, an hour had passed, and he didn't come. One of my classmates went out to see what was wrong, and it turned out that our teacher didn't arrive yet. So we had to wait a bit longer. After she told us that information, we continued waiting. I started drawing again, until one of my friends, Aina, suddenly pulled on my sleeve and whispered, "Something is wrong with CT." I looked at CT, who was sitting at the back, with the loud group. She wasn't saying anything or laughing. Well, it was quite weird, seeing her like that, because she was the one who always talked a lot in that group. And then I saw that she was holding a small piece of black cardboard and a pocket knife. Since we had an art class that day, I thought that she might have been doing her homework at first, but I froze when I glanced at her the second time. She started carving something on the cardboard, and very aggressively. I couldn't see what she was carving, but she then woke up, went outside the classroom, and stood there, staring at something. Aina poked my shoulder, signaling that I should check out CT's cardboard. So I sneakily went to her seat to grab the piece of cardboard she left on the table and went back to my seat. As soon as we flipped the cardboard over, we got goosebumps all over our bodies. Something was written on it. The words meant, "We didn't disturb them, they disturb us," in our language. Aina and I looked at each other. When I got up to return the piece of cardboard, CT was already in her seat and stared at me with a scrutinizing look on her face. I sat down and slid the piece of cardboard under my desk. All of a sudden, I had the sudden urge to know what the heck was going on. So I got up and went towards her with Aina. "Hey CT, how's it going?" I asked. But she didn't answer my question. Then I could hear Aina whispering the Lord's Prayer, and my fear alarm started buzzing again. Then Aina tried to talk to CT, but for some reason, she suddenly shuddered. And I knew the reason. CT started to mumble the exact words that she had carved onto the cardboard, but this time her voice changed. She sounded like a demon. Her voice was deeper and lower than a man's, and her eyes simultaneously started to turn white. Her mumbling was getting louder, and now she began to scream while shaking her whole body. Everybody in the class stood on their seats and watched what CT was doing with fear. Before long, CT suddenly stopped, dropped her face slowly down on the desk, and began to sleep. I quickly returned to my seat and tried to take out the cardboard, but it was not there. I searched all over the classroom, even inside of the bin, but it was gone. The next morning, I went to CT and asked her what she was doing in class yesterday, and she replied, "Oh, I was sleeping during the whole class." "You sure?" I asked again, but she said yes, nodding her head. Was my friend possessed? Could it be real? And what she told me next made my face turn white and my heart drop. "Oh yeah, while I was sleeping yesterday, I was at some church, and I saw a very beautiful stained glass window with a nun. I wonder who that nun was, though."
This is the story that happened to me a few years ago. I was studying for the civil service examination. I came up to the big city to study, and while I was looking for the house to stay, I met one house owner. The middle-aged lady was so kind, and the rent price of the room was extremely cheap in comparison with the price at that time. All of my friends opposed and said the price is too cheap. They also told me to reconsider it, but my mind was urgent, so I just made a contract right away. The room was pretty big, and the window was also wide enough so that I was satisfied with my room. But a few days later, a strange smell began to come up from under my bed. At first, it was endurable, but the odor was getting worse, so I couldn't sleep at all in my bed. I eventually begged the owner and ended up moving to the next room, which was far away from this room. Since that day, whoever moves to that room, they all moved out again because of the smell. A few people visited in a few days, and I heard the conversation between those people and the owner while they were taking out all the stuff and removed the wallpapers in the room. "Ma'am, we had told you that it would stink. If you'd have done what we said last time, well, you'd have spent less money." And then she answered, embarrassedly, "I didn't know it was going to be like this." They then began to remove the floor, change the cement, and finally changed the whole room completely. Until then, I thought we were just remodeling the house, but after I heard the story of the room from the other people who lived around here, I eventually realized that I was totally wrong. It is said that a few months ago, one student committed suicide in the room, and the owner at that time, she ignored the cleaning company's word that she had to reapply the cement to remove the smell that had seeped into the floor. So she just chose wiping off the blood of the body by reason that it was expensive. The cement looks hard just by looking at it, but because of the porosity, it's known that the cement has lots of small holes like sponges. But what if someone was murdered or the dead body was left unattended for a few days? When the blood or such thing flows downwards, it starts to rot inside and then stinks. In addition, if the dead body is left unattended for a few days, the waste begins to come out and the fat flows out when it starts to decay. Like the blood and the waste are hard to clean, as you know. As soon as the smell penetrates through the concrete hole, you would not be able to get rid of the bad smell no matter what you do. Therefore, it's said that cement should be removed altogether because the smell would not be gone of this kind of house. Although I wasn't staying in that room at that time, I kept feeling uncomfortable, so I eventually ended up moving a while later. I would like to say this to those who are currently looking for the new house. Even if a newly plastered house smells, or if you found any signs of partially cement floor, especially when the house is old, be careful. Because I'm sure that something would have happened in that house already.
This happened to my older brother. When he was a college student, he joined a mountain climbing club. One day he went climbing the high mountains located in South Korea with three of his club members. The mountain was so high up that they couldn't climb all the way up in just a day. So they decided to stop by one of the mountain cabins in the mountainside and take a rest. It was a two-story cabin, and unfortunately, the electricity was disconnected that day. Well, you know, people usually don't go to sleep early on days like that. So my brother and his friends drank a lot of alcohol, turned on a flashlight, and accidentally lit it up towards the wall. On the wall, there were framed pictures of the first, second, and other mountain guards. Everyone was giggling because of the face in one of the pictures. Then they fell asleep. The next morning when my brother woke up, he noticed that two of the club members had already gone down the mountain and there was only one left behind. He had fainted and froth was coming out of his mouth. He looked around in confusion, wondering what was going on. He saw something he could not believe. The cabin was surrounded by small windows. Well then, what the heck was there last night if what they thought were photo frames were actually windows? When I was a little girl, I was scared of sleeping alone, so I used to sleep with my mom. Eventually, I had to toughen up and sleep by myself. Well, this happened when I was in high school. I had a twin-size bed in my room and decided to leave both my door and my mom's door open. Our bodies were facing opposite directions. I couldn't sleep that night, so I turned on my MP3 player and was laying in bed, listening to music. All of a sudden, I felt a little strange, so I turned my head around, and at that moment, I froze. I saw a person's foot on my mom's body. First of all, if someone gets too nervous, it's hard to look around clearly. However, I slowly looked up, and then I saw the face of the person standing on her body. Literally, someone was standing on my mom's body. Well, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. I wanted to turn my head around again, but I couldn't. I couldn't open my mouth or even listen to music anymore. I couldn't take my eyes off his face. His mouth was stretching and getting bigger and bigger until eventually it ripped right under his ear. I could see that the inside of his mouth was all red. I wanted to wake my mom up somehow, so I gathered up enough courage as I could. Mom! As soon as I yelled, everything disappeared like smoke. She ran into my room, hugged me, and reassured me that everything was okay. I was leaning on her now, so that I could calm down. Soon after, I put my earphones back in and turned on my MP3 player. And that moment was really crazy and just plain scary. All of my files were gone. I had around 300 songs on the device, but all the songs were erased for no reason. I couldn't sleep at all that night and still felt bad even after waking up the next morning, so I ended up breaking my MP3 player. Well, why did my music files disappear? I used to wear a lot of wigs for my job. One day I needed a short bob cut wig, so I bought one and kept it at my house for a while. But then, something strange happened. The next day, my mom suddenly came into my room and said this. "Hey, why do you keep calling me?" "Huh? What are you talking about, Mom? I haven't called you once." I replied to her, but she insisted that she kept hearing my voice. It was kind of weird. But soon I ended up thinking that she was just hearing things or hallucinating. A few days later, while I was eating dinner with my mom and watching a TV drama, we heard a small voice. "Mommy!" "What the?" I stood up, and what made things scarier was the voice sounding exactly like mine. At first, I thought I misheard it, but I kept hearing the sound. I grabbed my mom's hand, and we followed the direction the sound was coming from. As I was getting closer to the shoe rack near the front door, I realized the sound seemed to be coming from it. It was at that moment. "Mom!" The loud sound in my ear surprised me so much that my heart almost dropped. Well, eventually I went back to my room and fell asleep, failing to reveal the cause of the sound. That night, I had a dream. In my dream, little girls were jumping rope and moving in slow motion, like in a horror movie. I couldn't see their faces because the children's faces were all blurry as if they were covered by fog. However, as soon as I tried to reach them, they looked at me at the same time. At that moment, I had no choice but to scream. Their fronts and backs were all covered by a bob-cut hairstyle. Well, I had the same dream for a few more days. My mom and I concluded that there was something wrong with the bob-cut wig that I bought. Eventually, I burned the wig. And strangely enough, everything returned to normal after I burned the wig.
Thank you.
My name is Nikki and I'm 19 years old. This past December, I got myself a Christmas temp job working at Amazon, helping with deliveries. It gets pretty busy around that time for deliveries, obviously, because it's Christmas. Right away, I hated the guy I was helping with deliveries. His name was Frank. To describe him, he was a bit overweight, didn't shave well, and his hair was short. I didn't like him because he was very rude and seemed like he was in a bad mood all the time. And I would be in the van with him most of the time making deliveries, and it was very awkward. I tried to make conversation with him, but like I said, he was very rude. And there was no point in trying after about two times. I thought about quitting, to be honest, or at least be with a different delivery driver, but I didn't want to cause any trouble. I was a temp after all and needed this job. I thought Frank was really rude and socially awkward and not a nice person to be around, but I never thought he would harm me in any way. One evening after finishing delivery, we were driving back to the Amazon warehouse, or at least that's where I thought we were going. Frank passed the turn where we always go to go to the warehouse. As I said before, we didn't really speak, so I wasn't about to question him. He would probably snap at me anyway. After he continued driving, the more obvious it was to me he was taking me to another place, and it wasn't the warehouse. I finally asked Frank where we were going. He didn't snap at me, surprisingly. He just said we needed to run and do a quick errand. I was looking around my surroundings, and I could see that we were around empty fields and abandoned farmhouses. At this point, it was getting dark outside. Frank then pulled up next to a tall, overgrown, and unkempt cornfield. He said to me in a very firm voice to stay exactly where I was. Don't move. Frank then got out of the car and started walking up into the dirt road, disappearing into the dark of night. 10 minutes went by. I sat in the van by myself in the dark and had no idea where I was. My phone was in the warehouse in the locker, as we weren't allowed to have our phones during work hours, so I couldn't even go on my phone or use it as a light source. I needed to pee and couldn't hold it any longer, so I got out of the van and headed into the cornfield to do my business. After doing so, I started to walk back towards the van. In the near distance of the cornfield, I could see flashlights. Two, in fact. I found that really odd, as the whole area seemed to be abandoned. As I got closer to the van, I could hear a sort of heated argument going on between Frank and another man whose voice I couldn't recognize. I couldn't see him either. I heard the other man say, "Where is she? You said she was in the van." Frank then told the man that she was just in there, and she has to be around here somewhere. The other man said to Frank, "If we don't find her, you're a dead man." That's what those flashlights were. Those men were already out in the cornfield searching for me. I snuck off into the field, walking quickly, but as quietly as I could, the whole time crying and thinking I was about to die. After walking far enough, eventually leaving the cornfield, I ran down the side of a long dirt road. I have no idea for how long, but eventually I came across an old diner which was still open, thank God, and the manager called the police for me. After this incident, I quit my job, but this wasn't the end of it. About 2 weeks after quitting my job, I got a call from my boss who employed me. He told me that I was the last one to see Frank, as no one has seen him since. Apparently, there were rumors that he owed people money from gambling debts, the people you don't want to be in debt with. As much as I don't like to think about it, I'm pretty sure Frank's way of paying off his debts with those people was to hand me over to those men. And what those men had planned to do with me, I never wanted to imagine.
My cousin used to work at a police station, and this incident is about one of his colleagues' experiences. One day, he received a call from a gas station worker that he had been robbed, and the robbery escaped shortly before he called the police. He asked the worker if he could describe the suspect, and to his surprise, he said that the person was in fact a woman with a white dress, and she has very long dark hair, and also she was beautiful, he said. At first, she came to ask for help because she got lost in the middle of the night. So I went to the office looking for my boss and told him what had happened. We then went back to the cashier together, but when we came in, she was no longer there, and all the banknotes were also not in the cash box. Since he was the only one on duty that night, he headed to the spot of the incident right away. As he drove toward the gas station, he soon entered a darkened section of the highway that was surrounded by forest. He was driving in the middle of a gloomy highway until he noticed that a woman in a white dress with a very beautiful looking was walking along the road in the opposite direction. He passed her accidentally, so he began to slow down the car and turned to check again if she's the person that the worker had described to him before. Then he turned the car in her direction, stopped next to her, and got out of the car immediately. "Ma'am, I need you to get on the car right now." As they were driving to the police station, he asked her some basic questions like why she had to steal the money or something else. However, the woman didn't say any word to all the questions while she was sitting in the back seat. She just looked at one point all the time until they arrived at the police station. Her behavior was pretty weird, so he thought that the woman might have some kind of mental problem. He then decided that he would not have any further conversations with her. When they arrived at the police station, they started to investigate her, and all of a sudden, she said that she would return the money the next day if they let her spend a night in a prison cell. Because she kept insisting that she had nowhere to go, he and other cops were confused by her comment. But they could nothing to do, actually, so they eventually approved of her proposal, letting her spend one night. The other police then called the gas station and informed the workers that they had captured the person, and they would return the money for tomorrow. The next day, he went to visit the woman they had detained yesterday. However, he was stunned as soon as he had arrived at the prison cell. In the cell, they found that her roommate's face was all scratched and his body was hung from a wall nail. And the bills, which they didn't see yesterday, were all tucked in his pockets roughly. The wall next to him was painted in blood, saying, "I'm returning my debt." What made him even more frightened was that the woman completely vanished. He went to the director, informed this, and they had a search around the area widely, but she was nowhere. Even today, everyone in the police is traumatized by this incident. Now, that's what my cousin told me. How could anyone escape from a prison cell avoiding the cameras recording or anything? Eventually, they never found out what had happened that day and where she is now. This is my story. I used to have a habit of grinding my teeth while sleeping, so I had a lot of arguments with my roommate about this. Of course, I felt sorry for him, so I was thinking about what to do. I finally found out that a mouthpiece would be a perfect solution. I told him in a loud voice, "You're not going to hear anything from today on." I put the mouthpiece in my mouth and then I laid down. However, he suddenly shook me not too long after. I slowly opened my eyes. The lights were turned on and my roommate was looking down at me with a blank stare. "What's the matter?" I asked. "Something's weird," said my friend. And what he said was that he suddenly heard loud teeth grinding sounds again while he was sleeping. But this time, it was bigger than usual, and it sounded more vivid in his ears. And he finally felt that he had reached the end of his patience. "I'm gonna have to kill that bastard." Literally, this is how he felt at that moment. Only thinking about that, he tried to find a knife and put it in my mouth. But it was too dark in the room, so he turned on the light to find it, and then the sound abruptly stopped. You know, when a person grinds his teeth or snores, it doesn't matter whether someone turns on the light or not. But when he turned the light on, the noise stopped, and when he came close to me, he found that I was sleeping quietly with the mouthpiece in. "Then what did he hear?" And the next thing my roommate says was, it just gives me goosebumps. "Hey, if I hadn't turned the lights on and found the knife, I think I would have killed you, you know? I'm pretty weird, though, but I couldn't think of anything else." I don't know where to begin. One night I was working part-time in a convenience store. There was a small warehouse inside where you could place orders and watch the CCTVs. It was so quiet that day that I just went inside and spent time just watching CCTVs.
As you see, our convenience store makes a jingling sound whenever someone opens the door. But then, I saw a boy on a CCTV. How is it possible? I didn't even hear the bell ringing. In a panic, I slowly looked out, but I couldn't see the boy outside the window. Well, at first, it seemed like he was walking around in front of the snack bar, but he gradually came toward the warehouse where I was sitting. What the... I was terrified. What the heck is that? And then suddenly a man came inside, but I was already too scared to dare to go out. When he saw that there was no staff inside, he turned around and tried to go out again. But at that moment, I almost fainted when I saw his back. Riding on his back, the boy was staring at me. I was frozen on the spot. And after a moment, suddenly, I heard a big car and tires squealing. He was hit by a car and died right away. Well, I still don't know what I saw that day. Let me tell you about my grandmother. She doesn't have one finger on her hand. When my grandmother was pregnant with my uncle and aunt, she got her finger stuck in the cultivator's motor, and it got cut off. Also, there were a lot of bad things that happened that year, and she had a lot of people who died or were sick around her. My great-grandmother took my grandmother to a shaman's house at the time after finishing her finger treatment. Well, just as expected, as soon as they visited her, she told her about her bad luck and some other stuff. My grandmother was about to go back home because she thought it was literal nonsense. All of a sudden, the shaman stood up and yelled, "Where's your finger?" Her eyes turned white. "Oh, no! Why did you attach your finger on in that place?" My great-grandmother was surprised at the shaman shouting and asked the meaning. And then she answered like this, "That woman's fingers went in her stomach." Less than a month after leaving the shaman's house, my uncle and aunt were born. And when my grandmother saw her babies, she was horrified. Both of them were born with polydactylism, so they both had 6 toes each on one side. Well, I still don't believe in ghosts or shaman stuff, but that story really gave me the creeps.
This horrible incident happened when I was 15 years old. I had a doctor's appointment to check up on my arm, as I had sprained it a few weeks before. I had to remove my bandages that day, so I was sitting in the waiting room waiting for my turn to see the doctor. Then, I suddenly noticed a very tall guy in front of me. Maybe he was about 6'2". He had black hair and was a neat type, with a clean-shaven face. And he was wearing a long black trench coat and baggy black tracksuit bottoms. It was obvious that he looked a bit odd, but I decided to ignore him as I was often easily paranoid to strangers. However, a strong smell instantly invaded my sense of smell when he just sat next to me. He smelled like he had something rotten hiding inside of his coat. It was so horrible to endure it, and eventually made me feel sick to my stomach. I instantly got up, rushed to the toilet, and then I ended up throwing up. After cleaning myself up, I went back to the waiting room, and luckily that man was gone. My doctor was waiting for me at that time, so I went to her office, and she got my bandages removed. I told her about the man that I saw just before, and she said she'd seen him before too. She thought there was something off about him, but she eventually didn't say anything. Of course, I couldn't blame her, so I just greeted after that and then left the hospital. As I was coming out from the entrance and about to walk toward my home, I suddenly heard some heavy breathing in an alleyway next to the hospital. At first, I couldn't see clearly who it was because of the shadow, but soon after, I realized that he was the same man that I had seen in the waiting room. He didn't leave. What should I do? I was terrified. However, there was something strange about his motion, though. I looked more closely, and I could make out him biting on a severed arm. And that's when I realized that it was the source of the stench I smelled in the waiting room. I almost screamed, but held my breath as much as I could, and then ran down the road to call the police immediately. As soon as they arrived, in about 5 to 6 minutes, they knocked him down on the ground to arrest him. I figured out later that he was finally indicted on charges of kidnap and murder of people. And because of that incident, I didn't go to the hospital and stayed at my home for a while. I wonder, what if I had screamed when I was there and he found me? Would I have been the next victim that he was chewing on? I think it was a good decision that I made at the time, and I'm just glad that I'm still alive.
This incident occurred when I just turned 12. It was a big day for me. Since we were going to throw my birthday party, everyone in my house was busy decorating inside. A lot of my friends and all my family members were supposed to come, so I was pretty excited at that moment. Later on, almost everyone had arrived, and I was waiting for two girls named Saya and Alania. They were twin sisters whom I just met a few days ago. We weren't actually that close to each other, but I thought they were nice and fun to hang out with. So I invited them the day I met them on the street, and they laughed and said that they would love to come. In fact, I didn't really think about them and forgot about those twin sisters soon, since I was enjoying the gifts I got. A few hours went by. I heard a loud knock on the door suddenly, and when I opened the door, the twin sisters, Saya and Alania, were standing there and smiling. "Come on in!" I greeted them and tried to invite them inside. However, one of the girls said, "We weren't expecting this many guests." At first, what she told me seemed pretty odd, but I didn't think much of it because they were too shy and didn't like being around too many people. So I introduced them to everyone in the house. Everything was fine until that moment. Not long after, they came closer to me saying that they have my present. It was the cake they made. It looked like a normal cake, but smelled really bad. And it looked like it was rotting for a long time. No doubt, I felt disgusted. But soon, I decided not to judge by its looks. So I eventually tried one bite. To my surprise, it tasted really good. I proceeded to eat more and more. But then, my eyes suddenly started to go blurry. The last thing I remembered were the twins' big creepy grin, and that I was dragged by them somewhere. Then I passed out. I don't know how much time went by, but when I woke up again, I was in a hospital. I could feel my whole body hurting, and my parents almost cried when they saw me wake up. I was confused and asked the nurse standing next to me what had happened. Then she told me that a lot of guests noticed that I was gone at certain points on that day. They were looking for me and they eventually found me unconscious and beaten up terribly in our shed. My parents were shocked and immediately called the ambulance and the police. They asked everyone all kinds of questions, but then one of my friends noticed the twin girls were gone too. Eventually, they were found in my attic, hiding behind some big boxes. It was said that they were covered in blood and were smiling widely at the police. It turned out that the girls put the heart and the guts of a dead sheep, some small bones, and even thin small needles in the cake I ate. And they also put lots of candies, chocolates, and some sweet things, so that's why I couldn't notice anything weird. It is said that the girls had escaped from juvenile a few days ago, exactly on the day I first met them. Fortunately, I didn't swallow any of the needles, but I had to suffer from food poisoning badly for a while. The doc told me I was very lucky to survive. To this day, I still wonder what would have happened to me that day if my family and friends hadn't found me in time.
Thank you.
I'm in charge of sound editing and audio at one of the broadcasting stations, and this is what I experienced the other day. The inside of our editorial room used to get too dark and gloomy, especially at night. So there were a lot of people who said they saw ghosts there. After I joined this broadcasting station, I just laughed when I heard about it. Nah, who believes that? However, not long ago, I had to change my mind. The audio file and film would sometimes disappear every other day. Of course, I was scolded by my seniors because of it, so I worked until dawn to make up for my mistakes. The hallway in the editing room was pretty long, and there was a small warehouse inside the room on the far end of the hallway where the film was kept. Originally, only the people in charge could enter the room. However, for some reason, I kept hearing a squealing sound in the room that day. I guess someone's still working. While I was editing, I kept hearing that noise. Wondering who was inside, I got up from my seat, came out into the hallway, and opened the warehouse door slightly. And there was someone inside the room. A woman with disheveled hair was lying on the floor, attaching her stomach. She kept making grotesque sounds and crying. She was also frantically pulling out the tape from the film. The scariest part was the speed she was pulling the tape out. It didn't seem normal. It was abnormally fast, and her posture was she didn't just lie on her stomach. She didn't have a lower body. I ran away from the room screaming like crazy, and the next day I told my senior about this. And the senior, who was listening quietly, said this. After hearing it, I couldn't sleep at all. Maybe she was looking for the film she had appeared in. Well, let me tell you my story. I'm working as a police officer. I experienced something really incredible a while ago, but no one believed my story, so I'm here to tell you this. Not long ago, my team and I were dispatched on a mountain after receiving a report that there was a dead body there. While we were doing some research on the dead body, I went closer to it and started to check it out. It seemed like it hadn't been long since he died, and furthermore, his body's condition was really clean. I guess this man probably committed suicide. I was thinking that, but it was at that moment. Not yet. The dead man was staring at me, with his eyes slightly open, and I definitely saw him saying it based on the shape of his mouth. He's alive! I saw it! I screamed, grabbed the other cops, and shouted, but soon, I eventually got scolded by the chief, and he told me not to disturb the other cops. He also told me that the body's cardiac arrest was checked already. I soon became devastated. Did I not see it? Did I just witness something wrong? It turned out that it had been about 10 hours since he died, and the cause of his death was suicide. I started to tell another senior police officer. He listened carefully to what I was saying, and he finally said this. Well, sometimes there are people like you. You know, those types of people sometimes hear the last thing the dead wanted to say. I just heard this from someone I know. One day, he got up as usual, and then he stared at his finger with a blank expression on his face. Why don't I have 6 fingers? Why do I have 5 fingers? Where is the other one? He started to have these kinds of thoughts out of nowhere. He was so worried. And he kept thinking about it on his way to work. And he was so scared when he came back home that he burst out crying. However, he eventually realized it only before he came home and was about to fall asleep. Oh, yes. I have 5 fingers, actually. A few days later, he posted about this on an online community. Well, of course, most people treated him like a crazy person or just laughed at him. In the meantime, a comment written by one person stuck deep in his mind. The anonymous commenter said he might have early stage schizophrenia, and he asked him, what if he thought he had four fingers instead of six eventually? I got goosebumps when I heard that. I had a hobby of capturing some ghost stories that I found on the internet and putting them one by one in my cell phone's album. Then one night, I suddenly had a nightmare. I couldn't move my body at all, and at the same time, something caught my eyes. It was a female ghost sitting at my bedside. She was muttering something while holding my cell phone. And when I looked more closely, I could see that she was watching those scary stories in my phone's album that I had captured, swiping her finger on the screen quickly. Hehehehehe, this is funny. This is funny. And this is very funny. This is funny. About a few years ago, I had a roommate when I was living in the dormitory. She was a pretty famous person in our major class, and was known as someone who could see ghosts. Anyway, I was in the middle of a test period, and there were lots of post-it notes around my desk, which I put to memorize what I had studied. Then one day, my roommate looked at my desk and suddenly told me to take off all the post-it notes right away. Wondering why, I asked what was wrong with it, and she replied, saying this. I woke up for a moment in the morning a few days ago, and there was a woman sitting in front of your desk, and she was reading all of the post-it notes you wrote. Nothing could have been more creepier than what she told me. After that, I no longer put anything on my desk. Never. There was once a man, and the world he lived in had been full of devastation for a very long time. He was constantly wandering from place to place. On one night, he was fortunately able to stay in a house. He was so touched and grateful for the kindness of the house's owner, who let him in and offered him a meal and shelter, especially during a time like this. The next day, the owner placed a letter in his hand while the man thanked him and was about to leave the house. Young man, if you're really appreciative, please deliver this letter to the town over there. But listen, do not open it when you are on the way. He spoke to the man so desperately. The man left the house saying yes. However, on his way to the village, where the owner told him to go, the man suddenly became curious about the contents of the letter, so he finally opened it and read it on the spot. And the letter was written like this. This is the last food we will send.
When I was in kindergarten, I lived in an apartment house of corridor access, and there lived a family of a friend who was always playing with me in the same apartment. Me, my mom, my friend, and my friend's mother. We used to hang out with each other often. Then one early dawn, my friend's mom kept hearing an irritating sound outside the front door, so she woke up and went outside. To her surprise, there was an angel of death crawling on all fours in the hallway in front of her eyes, just moving back and forth, on and on. And that irritating sound that she heard was the sound of his black dress being drawn to the floor. She screamed with fright, but it kept crawling slowly in front of the front door, not caring about her at all. And she eventually realized that it was a dream when she soon awoke. The next day, she, of course, got frightened and went to see the shaman lady with my mom. As soon as she told her own story, the lady said something with such a creepy, cold voice. Your son will die soon, and there's no way to save him.
you can't change the fate. She got more terrified with anger and got up from her seat hurriedly. But then the shaman said to my mom, "And your son will be safe." In the end, they had no choice but to just come back vacantly. A few days later, the four of us were on our way back from the market, as usual. By the time we reached the entrance of the apartment, my friend suddenly ran into the apartment first, saying he had to pee. And I saw the fruit truck parked in the corner of the apartment parking lot, so I ran over there and started to beg my mom to buy some fruit. As she was not about to buy me fruits at all, she just persuaded me to go home quickly. However, somehow I kept wanting those fruits so badly, so I tried not to go back home, standing in front of the truck. My friend, who already just went up to his house, stuck his head out from the railing in the hallway. Then he shouted loudly, saying that the house was locked. After seeing his mom take the key out of her bag, my friend came down again right away. And as soon as he ran towards the apartment entrance, it was the very moment. He was hit by a big van suddenly that rushed from the other side. I don't remember because I didn't see the very moment clearly, but it is said that his whole body flew away with a loud crash, and of course he died instantly on the spot. I've been thinking so far that my friend had died because his mom had dreamed of the angel of death, but my mom later told me something shuddering. Do you remember how high the corridor railing was then? It was just as high as an adult's chest. It still gives me goosebumps when I think of the moment when he got his head out of the railing.
This is a story that I read somewhere. Have you guys ever heard the term lucid dream? Well, it's a dream where you can do whatever you want while being aware that you are still dreaming. In other words, it's a dream with clear consciousness. But what is even scarier is that there are people who can literally invade other people's dreams. Okay, so here is how the story starts. There was someone who was experiencing a lucid dream while he was sleeping. All of a sudden, someone else appeared in his dream and shot him. It was so vivid. He could feel the pain of being shot, and he bled quite a bit. Then the stranger approached him, and he asked him a question. How does it feel to die in your dreams? I know. This is not a scary story, but it's about a dream I had when I was young. In my dream, I was at home drinking water when suddenly I had the urge to go to the restroom. So I ran towards the bathroom. But when I opened the door, about 100 doors were in front of my eyes. All the doors were locked, except for the last one. So I opened the doors one by one. I finally entered the last door, which was the restroom, and I felt relieved and happy while I was peeing. However, while I was peeing for a while, it was kind of weird. It felt really uncomfortable and wet. And when I woke up, I realized that I just urinated on my blanket. Anyway, I was shocked, but also generally happy back then, so it didn't really bother me. My older sister's body was weak, so she experienced sleep paralysis often. She used to dream a lot too, and once she told me the most horrible dream. In her dream, she went to the amusement park and rode a roller coaster with her friend. They sat in the back, and as soon as the roller coaster went up quickly, people in front of them suddenly died without any reason. My sister and her friend were really scared. They were going to get off right after the ride, but it didn't stop and kept going again and again. And people were still dying right in front of their eyes. Then it was my sister's turn to die. But suddenly, she heard the cuckoo clock in our house ring 4 times. It was 4 a.m. Well, the story is not finished yet. She tossed and turned for a while and then fell asleep again. Then she started dreaming again. She had the same exact dream. She was panicking. Suddenly, the guide grabbed her shoulder and whispered in her ear, "Don't run away. Now it's your turn." And the roller coaster moved again. Her friend fell down first and broke her arm. And when it was my sister's turn to fall, she miraculously woke up from the dream. 2 days later, my sister's friend called her and said that she hurt her arm while in school. She was in art school and had scratched her arm terribly with some type of sharp tool. It really creeped us out.
I used to live in a small house located close to a large town. I always read the newspaper every morning when I woke up, and one day, I saw the article that one man from the same town I live had been missing for almost 4 months. The guy had a large scar from his left ear, the mouth, and over to the right ear. I thought I had seen something like that in a horror movie before. After a few more months later, another man was found murdered not far away from our house. The police kept searching for the criminal. However, they could not find any evidence. I was paranoid about that incident, but soon I eventually forgot about it. About another month later, one night, I was about to sleep in my room. I was the only one who had a room downstairs at that time, and I used to sleep with my window open because I get hot often. That night, I fell asleep early. However, a loud noise from outside my window suddenly woke me up again. It sounded like someone threw a ball or something like that on the wall beside my window. My bed was right in front of the window, so between me and the window was pretty close to me. I couldn't see the outside as the black curtains were blinding the windows, but I could definitely see that there was something behind it. Suddenly, I heard a small dripping sound from the window to the floor. Being frightened, I slowly opened my cell phone and turned on the flashlight. And there was blood dripping to the floor. I immediately pulled the curtains open and there was a knife stained with lots of blood on the windowsill. And there was someone outside. It was pretty dark so that I couldn't see his face clearly. But I could recognize those scars. It was the same man that was missing for months. He was standing there and just watching me with a blank stare. And I noticed that he had cut his scars open widely again with the knife. I quickly grabbed the knife, went to my parents' room, and showed it to my dad without saying words. Dad immediately called the cops, and they ran toward my room, but when we looked outside the window again, he was already gone. After the cops had arrived, they didn't find any trace of him. And now it's been 2 years since then. But still, nobody has found the man yet. Who was that man? And why was he doing that outside my window without doing anything harmful to me? It remains still a mystery.
This happened when I was in 4th or 5th grade. It was just a typical day. My friend's parents were working, so I went over to my friend's house and we played together. It was around 1 p.m. I was packing up to go to the academy when my friend suddenly grabbed my arm. "Can't you just stay with me until my parents come home?" However, I was sure that my mom would scold me if I missed the academy. So I told my friend I'd stop by again afterwards and then left. I was on my way back to my friend's house around 4 p.m. But when I reached his house, there were policemen next to it. I could see some officers and other people around the area. It turned out that there was a married couple living there, and the wife committed suicide while her husband was on his way to work. After that, while I was walking home with my friend so that we could play at my house, I suddenly got scared. So I asked, "Why did you tell me not to go to the academy earlier?" Then my friend said that he heard a woman's voice through the wall while we were playing at his house earlier. And this is what my friend told me. The woman said, "For some time, I used to try to experience a past life, but I'd always fall asleep whenever I tried to. One day, I tried to experience my past life. As soon as I woke up in the morning, I fell asleep again. I usually either don't dream or remember my dream after waking up, but this time my dream was so vivid. In my dream, I was walking up the stairs, and there were tons of flowers and grass on both sides. So I kept walking up the stairs, and I was excited. But then a man came down the stairs. He was handsome, but aside from his looks, I felt a little scared of him. I could see that all of his clothes were black and dull. The man walked towards me, so I tried to pass him with my eyes looking down. But then he suddenly said,
'You have no past life, and this isn't where you're from,'
he said while shoving me. I woke up at that moment, but I still vividly remember the feeling of him pushing me. After that, I stopped trying to experience my past life. My brother used to suffer from a serious sleepwalking problem. The problem is gone now, but just 2 years ago, he would wake up every night, knock on the door of his bedroom, and walk alone. That was his creepy habit for a while. One day, my parents went on a trip, and my brother and I were home alone. That night, I started to hear a tapping sound on the door while I was sleeping in my bedroom. When I opened my eyes, I noticed that it was coming from outside the door. So I opened it, and my brother was standing in front of my door. He was looking down at me without blinking an eye, and all of a sudden, he smiled. His skin looked so pale because he was sick at the time. It was horrifying. I ran to my bedside to call my mom, but my brother came into the bedroom, started to slowly turn around in circles, but suddenly stopped. Then he started whispering into the air, "Don't do it. I'm sorry. Sorry. Don't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I was so scared of him that I started to cry. Murmuring for about 10 minutes, he suddenly said, "Shut up, you little brat." And then he fell down right on the spot. My mom still didn't answer the phone. I rushed to my brother's room, locked the door while crying to myself, and tried to fall asleep. Maybe it was around 3 a.m. I suddenly heard someone trying to open my brother's door, but it sounded like someone's head was banging on the door. Thinking that it was my brother, I held my breath, and then it was quiet. Thank goodness, I'll be safe here until the morning, I thought at first. But after about an hour, I needed to go to the toilet so badly. I didn't hear anything outside the door, and my brother seemed to be asleep again. So I took a deep breath, opened the door, and tried to get back quickly. My brother, he was crawling around on all fours in the living room. Not on his knees crawling on the floor. He was moving around with both hands and feet on the floor, and his face was buried between his hands. I didn't even scream when I saw that bizarre figure of my brother. He was crawling in the dark living room. There wasn't a single light, and I think that was the most fear I've ever experienced in my life. While I was just shivering without moving an inch, I met his eyes and he looked like a dead man. as if he took some kind of drug. I snapped out of it when I saw his eyes. Then I ran back into the room, locked the door again, cried, and finally fell asleep. The next morning, I went outside and asked my brother about the night before, but he didn't remember anything. No way. What for? He said he couldn't remember anything at all, no matter how many times I asked him. That was the most frightening experience I've ever had.
So, where should I begin my story? First of all, I recently got a job as an intern at a small company while attending a special high school. And from school, I had a friend who I hated most. He always spread false rumors, making my friends turn on each other, and never was sorry for what he had done wrong. Well, he was already a celebrity at that time. But this dude and I eventually got a job at the same company. Because I had the complete opposite character of him, we had a lot of fights at school. However, after I came into the company, I tried to control myself as much as I could and understand him no matter how much he said stupid things. My friends ended up calling me Buddha. But the incident eventually happened 2 weeks after my first day of work. I can't tell you the specific details to protect the company's privacy, but his mouth was absolutely a disaster. Our school teachers had to come to the company. We both had to have a face-to-face talk with the executive director, and we even had a call from the education office. I got so angry. I couldn't bear this stupid situation anymore. I ran down to the first floor material storehouse, confirmed that there were no people, and spat out all kinds of curses calling out his name. Shit, I'm gonna blow off your head, you son of a... But it was the biggest mistake of my life. The warehouse used to be a place where people didn't come very often. But when I looked back casually, he was there. He was just staring at me. My heart was pounding, and I felt like my head all stopped. Holy crap. There was a bleak silence between us, and I could feel that awkwardness in my bones. But soon, he just turned around and then went out of the warehouse. Feeling sorry, I thought he got hurt feelings. So I followed him. I called his name several times, but he never looked back and just walked down the hall. At first, I felt sorry, of course, but come to think of it, it was literally all his fault, and he had a responsibility to fix this problem. So why should I apologize to him while being ignored by him? All of a sudden, I started to be outraged at him. I stopped there and I screamed at his back. He suddenly stopped walking, and at that moment, I was like, oh, shit. You know, I mean, we're still working for the same company right now, and I can't make a mess of my plans in just 2 weeks. So I apologized to him to ease the mood by calling my friend's name again. Then he turned his head slowly, and, oh, well, I still can't forget that creepy memory until right this moment, writing about this incident. To tell the truth, I'm about to go crazy. His neck slowly turned toward me. You can believe it or not, his body was standing still in the same position, but only his neck slowly began to turn. A loud crunch sounded in the hallway as if his neck bone had broken. And I just watched it, blankly. He was staring at me with his mouth closed, and his neck turned slowly and slowly. As he turned his neck, the skin around his neck began to twist. And when he finally turned around for about a turn and a half, his skin tore with a tremendous sound. The blood rose like a fountain, and his neck dropped on the floor with a loud thump. Then his head rolled towards me and stopped at the tip of my foot. Looking down, I could see his head showing with all his teeth, and he was smiling brightly at me. When I saw that horrific head like a broken tomato, all the cells in my body were screaming to get away from there as soon as possible. It was someone's footsteps that broke the silence that seemed to last forever. And only then I screamed frantically. My colleagues told me later that they could hear my voice on the second floor. Well, I can't imagine how loud it was. Anyway, I could feel someone shaking my body violently not long after. The next thing I knew, the executive director, the section chief, and everyone in the company were looking down at me with a surprised look on their face in the hallway. I was sitting on the floor before I knew it, and he was gone already. I was taken to the hospital right away that day because I spit blood on my hand while coughing. I couldn't remember how big I screamed. And while I was explaining the whole story at the hospital, I heard something incredible. One of my colleagues told me that my friend was working in his place at the time, and he was even so busy that he never came down to the warehouse on the first floor. I couldn't believe it. Eventually, I took a week off from work and got a psychiatric consultation. And 5 days have passed since then. I heard that he was dead. On the fifth day, the director came in early in the morning and opened the door of the company as usual. While he was working in the office on the second floor, he heard a loud bang in the hallway. And when he went outside, he found my friend had hit his head on the marble floor, and it was all smashed. He died just like that. Later, when the director checked the CCTV at the police station, he found that my friend quietly climbed the stairs while he went into the office and closed the door. He just stared downwards for a while and jumped off. So I guess the director must have been shocked. He eventually had to go to a psychiatrist for a while. When I came back to the company, there was only silence inside the company, which was unusual. Anyway, I was just playing with my cell phone while I was writing this, and I just got a call from the chief. He asked me if I came down to the first floor on Saturday morning while I was on my alternate work. I was working on the second floor in the first place, and I couldn't go down to the first floor until lunchtime. So I told him I didn't. But then he said something strange. He was smoking in the outdoor parking lot that day. Then he suddenly turned his head toward the warehouse window on the first floor. He said that I was standing inside and staring at him quietly in the dark warehouse. He continued to say that I looked at him for a while and then disappeared. At first, he didn't want to say anything hasty, but he finally called me thinking about my friend who died a few days ago. Well, to be honest, I'm in a panic right now. I mean, I've calmed down to some extent, but I'm still scared. There's something I didn't reveal while writing earlier. I remembered it just now. When I'd seen my friend's fallen head that day, I actually saw the face coming toward me. It was neither my executive director nor the section chief. It was me. I could see my body walking toward me with only my head turned back. So, the reason I screamed was not that I saw my friends falling in. I screamed at myself. My parents have gone on a trip right now, so there's nobody at my house right now. Now, what should I do?
All right, y'all. I want to say something before I end the show, which I'm about to anyway. To the person that just inboxed me, Jeffrey, man, look. No, you can't come get in my bed. No, you can't. Like, I can't cuddle you. I know a lot of y'all, you know, y'all's like, oh, the hell, the back of my neck is standing up, you know. I better be able to get some sleep tonight, this, that, and the other. Look, listen. I am not responsible for any lost sleep. I am not responsible for any nightmares. Don't be inboxing me and DMing me all night talking about this. I can't sleep. You can't sleep. Nah, I'm about to pop me 2 Vinnies, and I'm about to be out. But anyway... I'm glad y'all enjoyed this show. I love the support. You know, to those who called in and dropped off, hey, I get it. It's not your thing. To those of you who inbox me on Instagram and DM me, you know, like, bruh, y'all just continue to support me in a way that I never thought possible. You know, it's not about the quantity with me. It's about the quality and the fact that y'all are loyal and y'all come back every day, week after week, to show your girl support. And when I don't show up, y'all inboxing me or DMing me like, where you at? Are you okay? What's up? I love that. I really do, and I appreciate that more than you could even possibly know. So join me tomorrow night, or rather tonight, for Club Real Spill, where I'm going to give y'all 2 hours of uninterrupted music that is sure to get your weekend started on a good foot. I mean, we about to party, like, party. And then Saturday, you know, we have Soul for Saturday, where I give you 2 hours of neo soul and spoken word. Sunday, coming full circle promptly at 11 a.m., I'm giving you those spiritual Sunday vibes. You know, everybody's having a hard time. Everybody is walking around with a frown on their face because they feel as though they have nothing to smile about. Well, it is my job and my duty to give you the positive energy and vibes that you need to feed your soul. So definitely come through and tap in with me, starting promptly at 11 a.m. Sunday. Then comes full circle to Monday, mashup Monday, 2 hours of mixed match music, whether it's country, hip-hop, pop, R&B, whatever the case may be. You already know the vibes. Things is different on this end. You know what I'm saying? We don't keep things routine and, you know, stale and the same. I thrive on being different, a.k.a. black sheep type vibes. You know what I'm saying? And then Tuesday, I figured Tuesday, if you listen to the playback or if you're listening right now, Tuesday is going to be a show where y'all get to know me, Raven, the serial poet. If you're following me on Blog Talk, Instagram, or Facebook, I'm going to start advertising for that tomorrow, or rather today, so y'all can get y'all questions in. If you have any questions and things like that that you want to ask, so you can get to know who I am, Tuesday, tap in, Raven Ran the Rant, where you will get to know the mind behind the Raven. And then Wednesday going to be Hyped Up Hump Day. Y'all know what the vibes is. We celebrating Hump Day. Twerking sessions all freaking night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Sometimes we run over because we be vibing. And then Thursday, you know, depending on how many listens I get on tonight's show, Thursday I will bring back Terror Tales, where you get 2 hours of ghost tales, scary stories, and things of that nature. I enjoyed tonight. I am not going to even front. But before I get out of here, I'm going to leave y'all with my thoughts of the night. And my thoughts of the night is this. Never be afraid to try new things. Because at the end of the day, while you try new things, you're opening your mind to new horizons. And as you extend your mind on your travel and your journey to learn different things, only then will you find a spot in life that is truly exciting. So with that being said, love, peace, and blessing. Pray before you lay. I love y'all, and good night.
I was only 9 at the time, and we had just moved to a better location. Our apartment was on the 6th floor, and was the last one on the landing. It was the furthest you could go from the entrance of the building, and was fairly secluded. The staircase was also completely indoors, with 4 apartments to a floor. One day, I came home from school around 2 p.m. My parents weren't due back for at least another 3 hours, and I set about doing my usual homework, watching TV, and emptying out the fridge. It was around the time that I settled down for an episode of Babylon 5 that I heard the front door bell ring. This was very odd, as my parents both had their keys, and no one else usually visited around this time of day. I went over to the front door and asked, "Who is it?" I heard a man answer back,
"Hello there. I am from the electrical company. We are doing a routine check on the electrical meters. May I come in and inspect yours? It will only take a minute."
I looked through the peephole and saw a young man, probably nearing his 30s, very clean, neatly dressed, with his hair combed to the side. He held a clipboard in his hand with some papers attached. I was about to twist open the lock when something caught my eye. Because of the fisheye view I had on the landing, I could also see a little extra to the sides, on my left and the man's right. I saw a light bouncing from what looked like a sharp metal object. It took me a second, but I clearly saw what it was. It was the cutting edge of an axe. Someone was standing right next to the door, attempting to hide from view, holding an axe in their hands. At this point, my memory gets blurry. I remember stepping away from the door and creeping into my room, which was the furthest in the hallway. I closed my door and didn't come back out until my parents got back. The bell kept ringing for a few more minutes, and then it finally fell silent. I never told anyone about it until now. So these were my stories, and I think there's always something important to learn from encounters like this.